we talk to just a ton of folks, not just HR people, but folks who are hiring managers, people who are IO, industrial organizational psychologists, veteran and labor groups, folks from OPM. It really was the whole group of stakeholders who care about how we tell if we're getting good people into positions in the federal government.
Are we hiring the best and the brightest?
Great question. I think everyone would admit and agree that we have some challenges right now, in part because we have just huge, huge numbers of folks who are applying for federal jobs. I think in the last 3 years, it's increased six times over, and we don't have the tools in many cases to get the job done. So we're squandering some terrific opportunities right now to really, you know, fill in the gaps with all the folks who are leaving government.
And it does seem like this is a unique opportunity where there is the potential to hire the best and the brightest out there to bring them on board.
It really is a phenomenal opportunity. One of the things I say is that the planets really are aligning. There was a memo from the president released in May saying we need to reform the hiring process. And you've got the Office of Personnel Management that actually has resources that they're able to put toward creating new and better assessment tools, something that the agencies, many of the smaller ones, haven't been able to do themselves. So the fact that you've got sort of the reason and the sort of the authority and the resources coming together at a time when we have all these folks wanting to get into government,
yeah,
I think it's a terrific combination of things coming together.
So the report makes a number of recommendations, but before we get to those, let's run through some of the problems. One of them, which I got to be honest, surprised me a little bit, essentially HR folks and the hiring folks not really on the same page.
Yes. I think it's not true in all agencies, but one of the challenges, I think, is that HR folks are overtaxed. I mean, they have a lot of work to do, and in many cases, they don't have the skill set that they need to get the job done. We're asking more of human resources than we have in the past in terms of what's needed. From the hiring manager perspective, I learned some very interesting things, and one of them is that in many agencies, the hiring manager may not hire for a couple of years, and then all of a sudden they have to do a bunch of hiring. So they have to come up to speed really quickly. Well, those relationships between HR and hiring managers may not be cemented, so they've got to get together, and it's almost like they need a process to get them together early on.
Yeah.
And talk about, well, what is it we need to do? Who's going to do what? And both of them bring really important, you know, different sets of skills to the process, but they have to get on board and sort of in agreement early.
But that the fact that there wasn't a process, I mean, that isn't all that new, that we're hiring a lot of folks.
Right.
Well, that is new. But it seems like there would have been a process in place to
well, there were processes. It's just that the processes weren't working especially well. One of the challenges
they've been stretched too thin.
Stretched too thin is one, and then some of the tools that the HR folks were actually using to put forth candidates, they call it a cert, a certificate that has the names of the top candidates. The tools that the HR folks were relying on weren't tools that were really working. So what happened was the hiring managers were getting these lists and going down and saying, no one here is really any good, and they start blaming the HR people. How come you guys can't do a better job? And it is partly, you know, an issue for HR, but there are other issues too. And one of them is they literally don't have better tools in some cases, and they don't know how to help managers, you know, sort of get to the point where they can have the right candidates to assess.
These automated applicant tracking systems, yeah, is what they're called. These seem to be a problem on both sides, because I know people trying to apply for federal jobs get frustrated because they don't know where they stand in the process.
Absolutely.
And they're not really helping at least from your report, they're not really helping feds do their jobs better really either.
There's a great quote that somebody gave me about the automated applicant tracking systems. These are basically systems that have automated the process to make it go from, you know, having to do it all manually to having something that actually takes a candidate and helps the HR person follow through the process. The trouble is that, this is a quote, someone said it's like paving the cow path. If you haven't made the process better at the front end and you automate it, all you're doing is, you know, paving the cow path, basically.
Right.
So what happened was these systems came in and people said, great, you know, we don't have to do all this manual stuff now. But what they failed to realize was that you actually, you know, that's just a system for you know, doing what you do currently, but just in automated fashion.
Yeah.
You need tools that are, and when I say tools now, everything from, you know, just doing simple interviews better. We all do interviews, but there are ways to do interviews well, and there are ways to do interviews not well. And so if we understand how to use some of those tools for assessing candidates better, then the automated systems can really kick in and help us. But we can't expect them to do the whole deal. And yeah, candidates also get frustrated because some of these systems don't talk to each other. They've got to do double and triple work if they entered their information for a job at one agency and another agency is using a different system. Well, gosh, I got to do it all over again.
The other thing that you found is measurements. There aren't really good standard measurements across government for how folks are doing in terms of this hiring.
Yeah, I think it's a problem, not just in this area, but in a number of areas. You know, the word on the street is, you know, when you talk to HR and especially hiring managers, they'll say, you know, a lot of it is make work kind of stuff. It's almost like we have to do it for compliance purposes, but honestly, you know, no one's using the data. They're asking us to gather information that really isn't used by, you know, the agencies that are being asked to collect it, like OPM, and the managers themselves aren't finding much of it useful. So, you know, that there are recommendations for what we can do to simplify that process, get measures that really matter, and then create sort of a virtuous circle where the people who are collecting the data are actually seeing that there's value to it. How it can be used, and sort of getting that positive reinforcement that the work they're doing is, you know, making a difference and actually helping them.
And it seems so often with these measures that, again, it has to actually help you do your job better.
That's right. You've got to have measures.
Can't be measurements for measurement's sake.
That's right. Right. You don't want measurement for measurement's sake. And in many cases, you also want measurement that is a little bit more continuous. A lot of times, you know, the measurement cycle is such that the measures go out into the void as far as a manager is concerned, and they don't hear anything back. You know, maybe they're getting, it's good sometimes to getting the outcome measures, you know, here's the data back on a quarterly basis. Well, every 3 months may not be soon enough, you know, and if it's longer than that, it's hard to imagine how you can use that to do your day-to-day work.
So now we're all depressed. Let's actually talk about some of the recommendations in
right.
here, because there are a number of good recommendations. One of them is that HR specialists and hiring managers actually need to figure out a way to work together.
Right.
How do they actually do that?
Well, we had a panel here just last week, and we had the National Institutes of Health, the Chief Human Capital Officer from there talking about what they do. But one of the things that you need to do is just get together early. If HR approaches the hiring manager, whoever the person is assigned to whatever a position is that they're going to be recruiting for, you can get on the same page early by just having a checklist of items that you go down. For the HR person, they want to understand what the hiring manager is looking for, because that's the real content knowledge that the hiring manager brings that the HR person doesn't understand. The HR person brings some technical skills, and they understand the ins and outs of the process, and hopefully they can walk the hiring manager through those steps and serve as a kind of a guide. But the hiring manager can't just throw it over the wall and say, here you go, you do all the work, because every job is different and every manager has particular needs that they're looking for. So it's really getting together and understanding those different roles early.
And one of them is that senior agency leaders, not just the heads of HR, really have to elevate the importance of this assessment, of hiring the best and the brightest.
Absolutely. You know, I know senior people must get tired in every report being told
everything's their fault.
Everything is their fault. It's so important that they do this. And one of the things we say here is, you know, they don't have to be involved at the tactical level, but really when you think about it, something like 80%, all right, I'm making up this statistic, so I don't want to be quoted on this, but a huge proportion.
It's okay. 87.5%
right,
of
right.
statistics are made up on the spot, so.
Thank you. It's very high. The amount of money that goes into the actually paying the workforce in any organization, not just government. So you think about it and you go, senior leaders should be really, you know, focused on where their money is going. If we're spending this much in every organization on our workforce,
yeah.
You'd think that making the hires, you know, and assessing the candidates, getting the right people in would be high on their priority list. But oftentimes, you know, other things that are more immediate take precedence.
Well, and it makes it much easier on the back end to then do all these things that you have to do if you have the right people in the right places
exactly.
doing the right things.
So all we say here is that they have to make sure that others in the organization know that this matters, and there's stuff that they can do to hold people accountable for that. You know, even just making it a priority for some of their direct reports to know that, you know, part of their performance evaluation is going to be focused around, you know, some measures related to hiring and assessment.
Your sense, OPM and HR executives, HR managers get the challenge that they face?
I think, I mean, we did a lot of interviews with OPM, and I think they understand that they have a lot of challenges. I was impressed with the OPM folks that we talked to. But at the same time, you have, you know, a long history between agencies and OPM where OPM is a dual role. I mean, they are, you know, part enforcer and part helper in terms of setting policy, but also, you know, coming up with the ways to help agencies implement. So there's always friction between agencies and OPM. And I think they're actually doing more to listen and to work with agencies this time around because this is a big deal. You know, we have a real opportunity over the next 4 months. Is it 4 months till November?
Yeah.
I'm not sure how many months it is. But this is a critical period because agencies have to make a lot of changes between now and November, but it's not going to end then. If you think about what's really going to happen, this is the challenging sort of mucky period where we're trying to figure out how to go from where we are now to where, you know, Obama administration and OPM say we need to be. But then the opportunity is if we can get to a place that's more of a sort of, you know, a little bit of stability, we have an opportunity to really make progress because we have resources that are coming in from OPM and an ability to take, you know, sort of the momentum and bring it forward. So we don't want to lose ourselves in this next transition period. That's the real danger, I think.
And as you said, the planets aligning here. It's important that you get this right now.
It has never happened before that OPM has come in with the amount of money. And let me just quickly say what they're doing. We have a lot of assessment is different for different positions, but we have a lot of positions across agencies, HR positions, IT, acquisition. Every agency has to hire for people like this. But a lot of times they don't hire enough individually that they can develop their own assessment tools. It's just not worth it financially. Well, OPM came in and said, look, we'll look across agencies, and even though one agency often can't afford to do this, if we can do it for all agencies, there's sort of a there's a word for this, but it's when we do it across agencies, we can get our money back. The return on investment for all those positions makes it worthwhile. So that investment that an individual agency couldn't make, OPM is making for all agencies, and they're hoping that pays off. That's never happened before.